industry leaders and teachers from around the globe to help provide performance, insight, and inspiration.
So you all may not know this, but this is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue.
Those young lovers. The first thing that came to mind, right? So
what's up, everybody?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
There it is. That's it. Anyway.
Welcome, everybody, to the Drummers Education Connection. We are here every Tuesday morning, just about Pacific time, 11 a.m., and we're here to talk to you about drums and drumming and talk to people who are drummers and drum and all, and other people, too, who are not drummers but who have something that is useful to drummers to know and to learn.
Like what?
Like how to be a better drummer with a bass player, for example. Or how to broaden your career horizons, or how to be a better, more effective marketing person. I don't know, all kinds of stuff we do. If you're interested, we have almost, we're coming up on 200 episodes that we've archived on either on YouTube, our Drummers Education Connection channel. And we got a whole bunch more coming because, boy, did we have an epic weekend at the PASIC convention in Indianapolis this past weekend. We connected with so many people, and we have so many amazing drummers and industry people that are going to be coming on the show in the next year. So we can't wait to tell you all about that. But first things first, my name is Jeremy Steinkohler. I am with my good friends and amazing drummers. These guys are all monster players. They're great educators, and they're just good people. Rick Stojak down in San Diego.
Hey,
Chip Ritter, Tucson, Arizona.
Hello.
Bart Robley, Ontario, California.
Howdy. What's happening, everybody?
For those of you just listening, he just gave you a salute. So we're going to start off with good things. And I know we all have good things from PASIC, but let's broaden out the horizon a little bit because we're going to spend the whole episode today talking about our experience at PASIC. We'll start with Chip. What's going on with you, buddy?
Man, I got a good thing coming up. I've got a lesson book with Jeremy Steinkohler this Friday, man.
That's true.
It's going to be cool, man. It's going to be cool. I'm getting ready for it.
I hope to in any way be of service to the great Chip Ritter.
It's going to be awesome, dude. It's going to be awesome.
It's humbling, and I'm honored to even think that I might know some things that you could learn. So.
And that's who wants, what's better than a humble sensei?
Right. Humble guy? I don't know.
I don't know.
Humble pie is pretty good, man.
I'm looking forward to it also. I'm looking forward to it.
Right on, me too.
I mean, Rick, what's going on? What's a good thing for you?
Well, it's obvious. The PASIC Percussive Arts Society International Conference was a huge success. And I'm still fired up about it. Getting together with the Bart, Jeremy, and I went and represented DEC, and we missed you, Chip. But
I missed you guys.
Perhaps next year you'll be able to join us, but I am still fired up about it. I feel inspired, excited. It was just a showstopper. So
it was epic. Bart, what's your good thing?
You know, my good thing is I've been I'm working on a new book, and I had said this to you, Jeremy, during the weekend from the book Art or War of Art. You know, the thing is like, okay, you finish your book. It's out there today. Today's the day your book's done. Start the next one, you know? And so the day my old book came out, not my old book, but my latest book, The Rhythmic Journey, came out, I started my new book. And which I don't have a working title for it yet, but it is all on the music business and how to be successful in the music business. And we're coming up. I'm a little over the halfway point. So I've been typing away and going till my eyes bleed and all that sort of stuff. And I'm thinking, I want to be more like Jeremy Steinkohler the whole time I'm writing it. And, you know, putting my new book together. Had a meeting with my art director yesterday, and that was real nice. So that's coming together. And hoping to have that out for the first part of the year. And to circle back around to PASIC, some of the connections that I made at PASIC and some of the people that I talked to at PASIC are some people that I'm hoping to get them involved in this book and to kind of, push it up there a little bit. So that's my good thing. What about you, Jeremy? You've always got good stuff going on. What's happening with you?
Well, on the tail end of the PASIC trip, I went and visited my son, Evan, at Northwestern. So that was a real treat to be able to get to spend a day with him there and see all the great things he's got going on. And then I came right back and had a monster teaching day yesterday and had a rehearsal last night. So it's been kind of nonstop for me. This is all just getting back from Europe. So I was in Europe for 2.5 weeks, home for 2 days, went to PASIC, went to Chicago, just got back. And, here I am living to tell the story. I do have a gig coming up on Friday with the Erica Oba Trio at Mr. Tipples in San Francisco. Really looking forward to that. That's such a great band. Just had a new album out. Excited to get back to gigging. Got a bunch of stuff lined up.
I want to say one other thing too, and I totally forgot to say this. I'm so sorry on my good thing. Tomorrow, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm going to be on a podcast called Project Metal Music. And this is to promote my side project that I have, The Ruins, which is my, and it's not all metal, but some of the songs that have done well for me are metal. So I want to throw that out there. Sorry about that.
That's right. It's all good. All good things, and all good things are just beginning. So, so one of the things I want to start with to talk about PASIC is to think about it from the perspective of people who have never been, and I want to think about it in terms of who is this conference for? Because my student Tien joined us, and we shared an Airbnb with her, and she had. And absolutely life. She even texted us just after we got home. She said, "You guys, that was a life-changing experience for me." And she's only been playing drums for 2 years. And she attended the conference, had an amazing time. Of course, the company was really good, but it was inspiring for her. And I can imagine there are a lot of clinics there that are geared toward more advanced players for sure. And I can imagine someone might feel intimidated with the idea of going like, this is really just for the professionals. But I don't think that's true because you're going to get inspired the same as we are. And you're going to learn stuff the same as we are. It might be some, several layers down in terms of complexity or sophistication or technique or whatever, but who cares? You know, you're just there and it's all about, it's like all things drumming. It's performances, inspiration, education,
arts, not professional arts.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's kind of just like what we do here on deck. It's just a lot of it, lots of people and more content because if people are playing drums, performing, giving clinics, there's marimba ensembles and world percussion and drum circles and drum clinics and panel discussions. And man, I mean, you can do it's all day long. This is going on. You have to pick and choose what you want to do. Let's see. I don't know. I'll kick it to one of you guys. What do you think? Who is PASIC for?
I think PASIC is for everybody. We were talking a little bit about this before we went live. I'm a firm believer the way that you gain confidence is by just being willing to try something. I'm going to try something. Okay. Perfect example. I walked into the room and I put on my headphones and you said, "Bart, you're playing, I'm talking." I'm like, okay. And Chip said something, I'm like, I don't know what to play, and the live button's going. So I'm going to try Take the Money and Run. That was the first thing that popped into my head. I probably didn't nail it, but I really don't care. I was just like, I'm going to try it. And I think when you go to something like PASIC, it's kind of like, how do I learn how to swim? Do I jump in the shallow end or do I jump in the deep end? Well, let's jump in the deep end and make it happen. And I kind of think that's what PASIC is. I think if you're a young drummer, Tien, I mean, she 2 years in and she goes and does this thing and it's life altering because the level of inspiration is so high. It's not the level of what your ability is. I sit here a lot of time trying, as we all do, trying to lift my ability. But the level of inspiration lifts your level of determination to be a better drummer. And so I think PASIC is for nice. Anybody that wants to know how to run a pair of drumsticks.
That's nice, Bart. Well said. Well said. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well said.
Rick, thank you. Mic drop. I'm out.
What, Rick, any thoughts to add to that, or do you want to shift gears?
I just feel that it was incredible to see that many drummers together. I don't know what the attendance is, 5,000, 10,000, but that's a lot of drummers. And what you could get out of it is that there was a passion, and I felt like a big cooperation. I felt like everyone was sharing ideas.
Yeah.
Everywhere you went, you'd see little groupings and they were talking drums, whether it was equipment or technique or career stuff or, you know, it was just a big love fest in that way. And, right. and therefore I feel that it's very, very a great thing for any drummer to attend. And just, and then my other thought is, if I was a bass player, that's where I'd hang out.
Yeah, right.
You know, because like to see what to get a better perspective of the other instruments. So I don't know why it's just drummers. I would think some people who play some other instruments. And it kind of inspires me if there's ever a guitar clinic or guitar convention, maybe to go and check that out and try to understand where they're coming from.
Yeah, I like what you said there too, but it's really just a place of all these drummers, and there's all this passion there. So imagine you enjoy playing frisbee, and you go to this frisbee conference, and you know you've got the expert professional frisbee players doing all these tricks demonstrations, but then you've got all the frisbee manufacturers in a hall, expo hall, demonstrating, you know, showing you their newest frisbee products and all the related things and the sun visors and all the stuff really you can think of. And then you get people talking about how to play frisbee better all day long, right? I mean, it's kind of like that. Everyone there is loving it, and everyone has love for drums. And it doesn't, like Rick says, it doesn't matter what level you are, because you're going to feel that same excitement and inspiration and enthusiasm from everybody. And it doesn't at all to me feel like a clubby kind of thing. Like, oh, you know, you have to be, you know. You're not a member of the club until you reach professional credential. That's just not the vibe at all.
I felt that one of the things that my Sam from the Sam Morrison Band, he always says, he goes, man, drummers are a different breed. He goes, we don't, you know, there's not guitar player conventions. There's not, you know, oboe player conventions. He goes, like, you guys are all in all the time. And you're always there to support one another. It's not the, oh, that guy sucks thing. He goes, like it is with other instrumentalists. And that's what I got from PASIC is, like, well, again, back to what Tien said. I mean, she just went there and soaked it all in, you know. Yeah. And I think, you know, all are welcome. And I agree with you, Rick. I think, you know, if I was a bass player, even a piano player, how do you make a rhythm section better? How is the drummer thinking? I would totally attend something like that just to kind of get inside their head and how do you make your job better? You know.
Hey, Bart, just for the record, to clarify, I just looked it up. There is an oboe conference.
Really? Where is it?
All right.
Where is it?
I didn't see where it was.
It's outside the dumpster next to the harmonica conference.
What do you call an oboe player with a business card? An optimist.
just take a right turn past the accordion convention there at the end.
Exactly.
Of the
yeah. Uh-oh. I'm going to get shot by an oboe player today when I walk into the store.
Jeremy.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
Jeremy, can you... tell us about your student Tien's heavy metal awakening.
That was cool. That was cool as hell.
That was really cool to see.
I don't know if I want to call it an awakening exactly, because she was already into it.
Awareness. So
Tien is in her mid to late 50s, I think. And she's been playing drums for a couple years, but played piano growing up, classical piano. And she's hit the ground running hard playing rock music and playing jazz music. And she's attended Jazz Camp West, which is a summer music program here for adults where they go and play jazz for a week in the woods. She's done several sessions of Bandworks, which is the school rock and roll type of program that I run, and also taken a number of combo classes at the jazz school here in Berkeley. So she's doing it. I mean, she's kicking butt, working her ass off, and also engaging in playing with other people. And that's how you do it. I mean, that's kind of like she's on the fast track to, you know, skill development, making this a part of her life, enjoying it. And, you know, she thinks of herself as a drummer now. She's only been playing a couple of years, but she's played in, you know, 10 different bands between the various programs she's participated in. And she was already interested in the heavy stuff. Like, she told me that that stuff excited her, even though she was learning to play jazz because she wanted to play in the combos. And she was learning to play, you know, sort of straight ahead rock stuff because she wanted to play in Bandworks. She was always clear that kind of dense, chops heavy music it just appealed to her. It like touched some inner little child thing for her or something that got her excited. And we laugh about it because she's like, you know, it's me and the 13 year old boys, you know, that are liking this stuff. no offense to anybody here. And so when you know, she got to see some of those heavy chops dudes at PASIC, you know, she was like, oh, like it touched a nerve for her in a good way. It, you know, drew the metal out.
Yeah. she did that a couple of times.
Yes, she did. Yeah. That was cool.
You know, let's call it a blossoming, you know, of her heavy
all
metal.
Right, blossoming.
Of her heavy metal inner child, because it was already there and it got tapped into at PASIC. And it was interesting, you know, at PASIC they had a really wide range of drummers presenting, like in terms of styles. Yeah. Right. So you had Peter Erskine and Quentin Robinson, like jazz, funk, R&B, and then Thomas Lang. I mean, it was the whole range of styles, right? You had the heavy double bass, crazy chops, blast beat dudes, and then you had the sensitive swingers. So anyways, it was big for her, and she's already, you know, we've been texting ever since she got home about double pedals and how she's gonna get going with the double pedal.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, I've been thinking about this show for a while, guys, and I've been thinking about your trip, and I've been vicariously living through you through your Facebook posts and everything. And I got a couple questions I wanted to ask. Can I just shoot a couple questions at you?
Great. Yes. I love it.
All right. So you met a lot of people, and you met a lot of authors too, I suppose, maybe a few authors in the drum world. And are there any really cool new books coming out that I need to go get?
The new Wilcoxon book. There's a new Wilcoxon book that has a brand new solo that was never published that he wrote.
Okay.
And I don't know the name of the book, and that is on Alfred. I saw that the very first day. I know that one for sure. But
you know, I didn't meet any authors who had just had a book hot off the press that they handed to me or were promoting. Alfred had a booth.
Well, I did.
Oh, good. We'll hear about that in a sec. Alfred had a booth. Sorry. Alfred Publishing had a booth at the expo hall, and they had, you know, I don't know, must've been like 50 different, maybe more drum books, you know, on display.
Nice.
But Rick, who did you meet that had a new book out?
Well, it's not a new book, but it's an app that goes with a book. We got to meet Liz. Her last name is Ficalara, and her book is How to Write a Fast and Easy Drum Chart, mm-hmm. which is a book that I highly recommend, and I've used forever. And recommend it all the time. And so it was just great to meet up with her. And she had a whole booth there promoting her book, but also she's doing a like an easy drum chart builder kind of app.
Mm.
And so it was very cool to see
what
she was doing with it. Yeah, just like on your iPad, or on your phone, you know, sort of like a system. Okay, it's verse. How, you know, here's the verse beat eight times fill, and just like a nice little system for putting drum, like quick, easy drum charts together. So
Liz Ficalero.
Oh yeah. That, sorry. Ficalora is her last name. How to write a fast and easy drum chart.
Got it. I'll check that out. I
ran into Rob Mintzner, who has this terrific book, one of the best sellers on Hudson Music, called Stuff You Can Use.
Yep.
And it's kind of like a compendium of grooves and sort of working person's vocabulary and how to acquire it. And he's coming out with a new one. You're jogging my memory here, Rick. It's called More Stuff You Can Use. I know it's in progress. I don't know how far away it is, but that'll be something that will hit the press at some point.
Yeah. I think when you think about Rob, okay, he was on the show and he promoted his book. And one of the things that was really inspirational about Rob, and I loved about him so much, was during the Peter Erskine Clinic, we're sitting there looking at I've got the handout around here somewhere, and it has a chart that he was playing, and it had a chart to the solo that he was playing along with. And it was incredibly well done. And Rob was sitting right next to us, and then we looked up in the fine print. I was like, oh wow, Rob did that, right? And said something to him about it. He's like, oh yeah. So first of all, he's an inspiration that you can get involved with something like PASIC. And be there and be cool about it. He was really humble about it. He wasn't like a slimy, oh yeah, I wrote that, look at my thing, and I'm so cool type of guy. He was very, very humble about it, very nice about it. And it goes to, and so we ask, who can go to PASIC? I mean, anybody that wants to be inspired. That was very inspiring to me, because there's a guy that, you know, he was on our show. He's written a great book. He's writing another great book, and he's very involved in the community. He's incredibly involved in the community, and it makes, when I see something like that, and I see a chart that he wrote for Peter Erskine's clinic, he's the epitome of, it's not all about me, look at my thing. It's about, hey, look, this is what as it means to be part of the community. And I love that. I think it's just, I thought it was amazing that he did that. I thought it was really
right cool. On.
Very
right
inspiring.
On. Rick, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you know, the show is an opportunity to promote what you were doing. You just have to be a little tactful with it. You know, I brought my How to Build a Drum Groove series. I had copies with me. And just ran into drum teachers who I hadn't met and showed them the book. And it stirred interest in the book series, that whole concept of pairing beats to hit songs. Everyone's like, wow, I've been looking for a playlist of basic beats and more complex beats, songs that use it, so my students could get right to playing along to music. And so, so I gave some books out. I'm going to follow up with a lot of different drum teachers who, you know, and send the teachers a copy of the book. And so it was definitely a great opportunity to promote. And so that is a good reason to go there. I think you have to do it tactfully and all, and too. And so I even made up little cards that had the book series and how to order it. And I gave those out, and it's upside down. And then in addition to that, Jeremy had the great idea of, we had these little deck stickers with our barcode in the back, right? And Jeremy, yeah, we had little cards that had Jeremy's books. You know, and then we worked as a team. We were like, it's better to be a pack of wolves than a lone wolf, right? So, you know, I'm telling you, like there were times when I talked to someone and said, hey, have you seen Jeremy's book? Because I really thought that book would be of interest to person. And then gave him a card. But you guys, we all did that for each other, and we did deck. We promoted deck together as a team. So it was a big cross promotion.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly second what Rick said. I mean, the other thing is that, you know, there are all these famous drummers there who are totally accessible. So like they give their clinic, and maybe there's 100 people or maybe there's 400 people attending. And and if you hang around afterwards, they're there to talk to people and connect and be real with you. And, you know, I talked with Peter Erskine for a few minutes, and, you know, I had taught a kid that ended up studying with him at USC. And so we connected about that, and I handed him a copy of my book, and he was very gracious, said he would read it and get back to me. And I was like, wow, I just gave my book to one of my one of my all-time heroes. It was incredible. I did the same thing with Terry Lynn Carrington. So it was fantastic. Yeah.
Hey guys, here's your cold card that you brought, you know, that had your info. And
yeah.
And then we bought these little postcard size dealies.
I didn't know this, but James Harrison just commented that he was the PAS chapter president for over 10 years. This is a great gathering. Okay.
President in Idaho. Yeah.
Fundamental set. Yeah, I should point out there were lessons available for beginners. So like 10-minute quick lessons with some of the guys on the drum set committee. You could go take a lesson with them behind a curtain and, you know, get started or burnish some of your stuff you're working on. That's great, James, Idaho. Wow.
Cool.
Would love to hear more about that. Maybe it's time to get you on the show and
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. So I got another question. So you're at PASIC. You're at PASIC, and there's all this all these companies with products and stuff. What were some of the standout products that caught your eye this year?
Oh, can I go first with this, you guys? Because I took a video of one of the things that was most interesting to me. And we're gonna have this guy on the show to promote this product, but let me do a quick share. Hold on 1 second.
So while you're looking for that, what basically PASIC, you had an expo hall, and that's where all the manufacturers were. And then you had the large conference room with the big, big clinics. And then you had lots and lots of small rooms with smaller clinics and events. So
that's cool.
At any given moment, there were about 5 or 10 things you could do.
Yep.
So, yeah, you couldn't get it all in. There was no way to get it all in. No way. Yeah. No
what are we looking at, Jeremy?
This is a guy named Derek Lee, who's a drummer and a developer, and he has spent the last couple of years working on this app that he's designed for your phone or tablet, where you can design and notate drum notation like instantly, and then share it, create PDFs. So, I mean, for example, I get students all the time who are texting me like, hey, you know, can you give me the groove to this song, or what is the fill that's going on at bar 17 or whatever? And, you know, I always have to sit there and listen and write it out and then take a picture and send it. And this way you can just draw it and make actual drum notation in like seconds in your phone and send it off. So let's check this out.
Dude, how you doing? My name is Derek. I'm with Beat Now, trying to make drum notation accessible for everybody. Also, with PDF Export, you can share a link to anybody. And teachers using it's like a musical whiteboard, and a lot more features to come as we improve the app over time.
Awesome. So you can use it on your phone or your tablet.
On your phone, on your tablet, there's an Android mailing list. So Android's going to be coming. Also, a web version to be coming, and a community. Something to provide feedback so that it makes sure we're addressing everybody's musical and teaching needs for music education. Can you give me like a 15 second break on the tablet? Great, so you can swipe your finger across to add or remove notes. An extra tab is going to open up articulation, so you can choose an articulation, play it back, speed it up, slow it down, get a click, drums only, click only.
And you can demonstrate it in actual notation?
Yeah. So we've got the notation here.
Oh,
yeah.
Kind of
zoomed in.
Wow.
Make it as long or as short as you like. And a PDF is going to be, this is a worksheet format, so you can do multiple exercises around a theme. This is just ghost notes. It's going to be a high resolution vector graphic. It's going to look beautiful on any monitor or on a piece of paper.
Fantastic. All right, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's cool, that should be a short.
Did I hear him right? Is it only available for iPhones and for iPads right now, or is it also available for Androids?
I think he's working on the version for Androids that hasn't been released yet. That was my understanding.
Okay. That's an incredible, incredible
product. That is cool.
That is right on.
Really,
really cool.
So that's, I mean, I walked around and took a bunch of videos of things like that that were interesting to me. And you know, it's just to be clear, it's not nearly the size of the NAMM or what was the NAMM drum hall. So at NAMM, you had just about every single company that made drums, sticks, heads, cymbals, accessories there with a booth, right? And so you're kind of like a kid in the biggest candy store of all. And here it's maybe a third of that, something like
that. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Yeah. So you had the big names like Vic Firth and Zildjian and Sabian were there. Peisty had a small booth. But you didn't have a lot of drum set manufacturers with kits everywhere. I mean, Sonar was there. Tama was there. Gretsch was there. Gretsch was there. Okay, yeah. And Pearl was there, but they didn't have any drum sets. They just had a couple of timpani drums for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And not a lot of the small boutique makers. So it's quite a bit smaller. And even the big names didn't have the giant setups that they have at NAMM. Nonetheless, you know, you can check stuff out. I mean, it's kind of a fun, what a fun thing to be able to do in between going to clinics or when you're like sort of there's a break where you feel like, oh, there's nothing that's really interesting me. I'm going to go spend some time in the expo hall and do some networking and meet some people. And, you know, you had all kinds of famous drummers in there doing meet and greets and signs. And Greg Bissonette we ran into at the Dixon booth, and he was hanging out and playing some drums and saying hi to everybody. And
one of my favorite products that I saw there that I reached out, networked with the guy a little bit. It's a new company called In Ears, E-A-R-Z. Now, we're going to have the artist relations guy on the show. I've been using another set of in-ears for many years, and they're great in-ear monitors, but their customer service has been lacking lately, and that was a complaint that this particular company had gotten a lot from the company that I use. I have these new molds, new in-ears that they're making. I got my molds done, and one of the things that they have that is really interesting about these ears are they have a breather cap on the back of the in-ear monitor. Now, if you've ever worn in-ear monitors, you'll know that your ears get a little bit fatigued and tired. Like if you're doing a 90-minute show, it's no big deal. But if you're doing a gig and you're doing four sets or five sets a night, your ears are going to get tired anyhow, but they really get tired with in-ear monitors because the air has nowhere to go inside your ear canals. These particular monitors have these little breather caps on the back of them. It doesn't allow the air to move out, but it fluctuates when the bass hits. So your ears, the air in your ear canal has some place to go. So your ears aren't nearly as fatigued. They're a really good product. They're like all the other really good in-ears on the market, where they have from 2 up to 11 drivers. What I've found over the years of using in-ear monitors is that most of the time, you know, other musicians in the band, like the singer, is going to want to hear something way different than what the drummer hears. The bass player is going to want to hear something different than what everybody hears. Horn players are definitely going to want to hear things differently. But drummers, what I found, most of the drummers that I talk to with their in-ear monitors, they want to hear everything. They want to play like they're playing along at home with the stereo. I know that's what I like to hear. Plus, I run a click, so I'm the only one that hears it, but I have the click coming to me. A lot of people are playing to tracks. I don't play to tracks with the band I'm in, but, you know, they'll run tracks. Again, your ears get tired, so those breather caps help, and then the fact that you have 11 drivers, you can really dial in a mix. So that was a product that I really liked, Chip. I thought they were great. Check them out. N-E-A-R-Z. It's a great product. Yeah. And that's one that I'd like to plug a little bit.
Yeah.
What about the clinics? You guys saw different clinics from people.
Oh yeah.
Lots of clinics. Hey, I just want to give a quick shout out.
Oh, Chip, sorry.
I just want to give a quick shout out that Sabian had an incredible booth. They have prototypes that I don't know if we can really talk about them because they're going to be coming out before long. and they were mind blowing. And they have new orchestral and marching crash cymbals, the C-Vine cymbals, and they had a huge display of cymbals that people were playing. So
wow, that's
and
cool.
Roland has their new flagship electronic kit that Thomas Lang played. It's the TD-71, and I've never played an electronic kit that felt so good and sounded so good.
Doesn't Thomas Lang have 4 feet or something?
he has 4 feet on each foot.
That's a segue to your question about clinics. Thomas Lang did a clinic. He was one of my favorite clinicians. And it was all about using sounds. He did his clinic on the Roland kit with the Roland multi-pads. The samples were pure and just amazing. But he has foot pedals that trigger different electronic sounds. So he was doing ostinato foot patterns with different sounds on all these pedals to his left. And then doing patterns over that. So it was like listening to four people play at once.
Drummers, have you ever worked with a guitar player who owns an extremely high-end acoustic guitar and they shove a pillow in the sound hole to dampen overtones? Of course not. So why would you do that to your kick drum? The Aquarian Super Kick line of bass drum heads is an industry bestseller and a favorite among drummers, drum techs, and recording engineers who want a musical-controlled bass drum sound without the use of blankets, pillows, or external muffling. The patented floating muffling system uses a narrow band of acoustic felt for a pre-dampened yet natural sound, eliminating unwanted high-end frequencies and boosting low-end punch. Often imitated but never duplicated, the Aquarian Super Kick delivers superior tone control without all the extra work.
That's cool.
To the sounds. It was hip, really hip.
What about anything that you took away from somebody's clinic? Did you guys learn anything while you were there? Like, I don't know, informational wise, like.
One of the things that I've always taken away from a lot of clinics, and I definitely took away this weekend, and it was also something that Jeremy said that he was talking about, and that is when you play with intent, you know, play like you mean it. Don't sit down and even if you don't know the part, play the part. Play it the best you can. Play with intent, because you will, at that point, you're going to sound authentic. You're not going to sound intimidated. You're not going to sound scared. And nobody wants to see a train wreck. Nobody wants to see somebody that's nervous when they play. And when you're nervous when you play, it's a shining light going, look at me, I'm nervous. And when you just sit down and you play, and you play with intent, you're going to do well no matter what, and have faith that you're going to do well. I took that away from the clinics. And also one of the other things that I took away from the clinic, from a lot of the clinics, is that kind of what we've been talking about all along, it's not about the drummer. It's something we've said on the show many times. You know, we are in the service industry. Serve the song. I heard so many times at the clinicians, the good clinicians, I remember Peter Erskine talking about this very passionately, that when you're on the bandstand, when you're on the stage, it's about the song. It's not about how fast you can play double bass or how fast your chops are, or, you know, it's about playing for the song. Serve the song. I think that that's really important for all drummers to hear that. It's very important. Serve the song. I took that away from the clinic, or from PASIC big time. Play for the song and play with intent. And Jeremy was the one this was something as a side note that was really cool. The first night that we got there,
Rick comes walking in with a practice pad and a pair of sticks, and I had a pair of sticks with rubber tips on them. And we stood around on the countertop and practiced for, what, 2 hours in the kitchen. So yeah. The Airbnb hang was fantastic. Jeremy showed us some of these cool new rudiment things, like the flam before the five-stroke roll, all this stuff that we just talked drums all week. And it was so incredible, and that was one of the things. Again, that conversation that night, play with intent. Play with intent. That's what I took away.
That's very cool, yeah. Man. And I saw that Greg Bissonette was there. Did he do a clinic?
No. No, he was just hanging.
No, but you got to hang out with Greg Bissonette?
I just caught him for about 10 seconds while he was in between things. Bart probably spent more time with him because they're good buddies. But there were some mind-blowing performances and clinics that I saw. Quentin Robinson, who plays in Hamilton right now, he just kicked hard ass in his clinic. He was so good. Trevor Lawrence Jr., he's like an R&B drummer, has played with all these famous, I can't even remember the list, but it was like Mariah Carey and Alicia Keys, uh-huh. all those people it was. And he gave a clinic that was in a smaller room, and it was packed to the gills, and man, could he play. The drum set seemed like it was a toy in his hands, you know?
When you said that during the clinic, you're like, that drum set's like a toy in his hands. I was like, man, you nailed it. It really was. It was
He was in all these crazy grooves that had like the drunken swing feel where it's kind of broken and you know, moving pocket and... he kept switching styles to style and like was, you know, just crushing every one of them. Oh, and then nice. I got to point out, who was it? Jameson Ross, who's
Jameson Ross,
that singer. He's an amazing singer and drummer. And he talked about his whole clinic was about playing, supporting the melody and the relationship between rhythm and melody. And he sang and played and accompanied himself. And it wasn't a groove thing. It was more of a impressionistic, I would say, approach. And he sang Yesterday by the Beatles and played
phenomenal.
Beautiful, sort of jazzy, understated drum accompaniment to his singing. And it was like, it was completely satisfying. Like there was nothing missing. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds like a reason to go in itself.
It really was. That's what I mean. Like, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're at. To just witness something like that, like, wow, that's next level. No one's really... done that kind of thing, vocal and drum solo performance, and it was incredible. And he's going to come on the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That was one of the things I have to say, Jeremy, you really knocked it out of the park with those little cards that we were handing out. You showed them a minute ago, the deck cards with the ISBN code on the back. Yeah. We were handing those out to people, right?
All weekend.
And immediately people were scanning it and going to the website, and Jameson was one of the ones that we went up and talked to him out in the hallway, handed him one, and he scanned it. He goes, oh, and he filled out the form right there and sent it to you to be on the show.
That's awesome.
And Rick, refresh my memory. I might be wrong about this. That was the night that we were going over to the Sabian thing with Murray, right? And we ran into Jameson. Wasn't that it?
Yes. On the way out, we ran into Jameson.
So that was another thing that I've got to throw out there that was so much fun. Three out of the four of us are Sabian artists. And Sabian had this really nice party at the Embassy Suites, 20th floor. Went up there and just like all these drummers are there, and we just kind of hung out. And again, it's about the hang, you know, it's about the hang. It was really cool. We stood there for what, probably an hour, hour and a half, just hanging out, talking drums with a bunch of drummers. It was a ton of fun, made a lot of friends, made a lot of connections. So again, back to the, you know, who's PASIC right for? It's right for everybody, man. If you're a drummer and you're into this, be part of it. Don't be afraid to jump into the community, just like the play with intent thing. Go there. Don't be afraid to wave your flag and go, hey, pay attention to me too, because I think that you, one has to be able to be able to do that, to have, to move forward in the, in this industry. And again, you don't have to be like, you know, slimy about it. You can be, just be authentic, be who you are. And if you are that, if you are authentic and you go there and you make friends and stuff, it'll work out for you, because they, yes, people will recognize that. I think that was one of the nicest things for us, for Deck, was that a lot of people knew about the show and they had seen it, yeah, or they had heard about it, and they were enjoying the show. And that was very nice to see the people that had, that we had made an impact on. I'll put it that way.
Yes.
That's cool.
You know, I also wanted to mention that metal was very well represented at PASIC this year. There was a great clinic by Art Cruz, who is with Lamb of God. And, oh, man, this guy slayed it, and he's so passionate.
Yeah.
And man, his whole message was, you know, just believe in yourself, and good things can happen, you know, and he just like, I'm going to make it, I'm going to do it. And he took all the right steps, and he was super, super passionate about his drumming. And, you know, that was one of his bands that influenced him growing up. And then he became the drummer of the band.
I'm glad you brought that up. It's worth mentioning that I saw that as kind of a through line between a number of the different clinics. You know, you might hear the word clinic and then go advanced, but it wasn't really like that. Like a lot of the clinics were just these guys playing a little bit and then talking, playing and then talking. And it wasn't full of there was no exercises in any of these clinics. There was no pick up your sticks and do this. You know, imagine, 300 people sitting in an auditorium or a ballroom and watching an amazing drummer play. And then they're talking about, and most that through line was a lot of guys were talking about how they got to where they are. And, you know, and a lot of it came down to kind of motivational stuff, like just about believing in yourself and being disciplined and being, you know, maintaining good relationships. You know, a lot of the stuff we talk about here on Deck, and that's applicable no matter where you're at in your career.
Well,
and not just about drumming, you know, it's about being a human being. So it kind of felt like... Yeah. You know, like PASIC was sort of like what we do on Deck, but like amplified, you know, 500 times, you know.
Add to what you just said, Jeremy, I'd like to add this. To anybody that is watching this, sees this, or hears this, who is a drummer, and you're kind of on that cusp with your toes hanging over the edge of, okay, I'm a teacher, I'm a player, I'm out here doing it, and I want to start playing clinics, but I'm a bit intimidated to do it, all right? Because, I mean, after all, you're playing drums in a room full of drummers, and that can be daunting. I know it was for me at my first clinic. I was just like, ooh, I was petrified. Dom Famularo really helped me. And one of the things that he said to me was, well, no, what are you going to talk about? And I told him what my clinic was. And he goes, well, you know exactly what you're going to talk about then. You go and do your clinic. And my big thing was, at the time, I was really inside my head. Well, what is this person going to think? What if that person's there? He's like, don't worry about them. Worry about you. Now, I overheard when we were leaving for the Sabian thing, Jameson walked up and gave him the card and asked him to come on the show. He was talking to a friend of his, and he was saying, okay, if I do a clinic there, I already know what I'm going to talk about. I'll have my stuff together. I'll have my subject matter together, and I'll do it. So anybody that's out there that wants to do clinics, that really wants to step in there and go for it, have your subject together. Know what it is that you want to talk about, and go do your clinic. You're going to find that you're going to inspire somebody. You're going to educate somebody. Your voice will be heard. It will resonate with a lot of people, and you will be helping your fellow drummers. Don't be afraid to do it. It can be intimidating, but once you've kind of gone and done it, and you get rid of the, well, what if this drummer, that drummer, that drummer is there and they see me play and I'm not as good as them? That is not what this is about at all. So I just wanted to add that into what you were saying, Jeremy, because I think it's important to some people that might be on the, they need that little push to, mm-hmm. to jump in.
Well, what about, let's dial it back down into a younger drummer who's listening, because I know that we've got some of my students listening. What if you are new to introducing yourself to other people? What is some advice you could give a younger drummer to, like, that he wants to go to PASIC, and how do you bring your business card? What, you know what I mean? How do you say hi? How do you get the courage to say, hi, my name is, and I'm from, and I play this? Like, do you have any advice for learning how to do that? How to network?
I do. Mine is, once again, be authentic. Be who you are. Speak from the heart. One of the things that I think a lot of times, like if you watch a salesman trying to close a deal, they have stock answers, they have stock things that they're trying to say, and they're thinking about, they're not listening to what you say. They think they're thinking about the next thing they're going to say. Talk to people, and don't be afraid to listen to what they have to say. Don't be afraid to listen to what they have to say, and come across as authentic. Don't come across as, well, look at the car with the shiny wheels, because that sticks out like a sore thumb. That sticks in. But if you go there and you're just, hi, I'm Joe the drummer, and I live in Tucson, and here's my business card. This is my first time at PASIC. This is so cool. Tell me about your product, and then be quiet. Listen about the
product. Very cool. Yeah,
Chip, I would tell these younger drummers who are just kind of getting into it to realize that drummers tend to be very cooperative. And I kind of noticed that we all tend to like a little bit of attention. It's not like the singer where they get all the attention. So generally I find drummers are very, very happy to talk to anyone. So one of all of the major clinics, these top shelf players took questions from the audience. So if I was a new drummer, you know, first time at PASIC, don't be intimidated. Everybody you might want to talk to is just very realist, very down to earth is what I find, mm-hmm. and very, very approachable. So if you're like, wow, I'm really into Latin drumming, and you see this top Latin drummer, go up to him, tell him you're a huge fan. Let him know, hey man, I heard you on this album, and ask him a question. You might make your new best friend, or find your future drum teacher.
Yeah, just show up and be yourself. I like that advice.
And maybe show up with a friend, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to walk around with a friend and connect with people when, you know, you can introduce your friend as so-and-so. I mean, how many times did Rick say, oh, this is my friend Jeremy, he's got this amazing book, and that was a great opening conversation. And, you know, if you go with someone who's already connected.
Yeah, Rick's a great wingman.
Yeah, you're going to be introduced to other people, right? So,
yeah.
I can totally understand feeling intimidated if you're there by yourself and don't know anybody. You're like, you know, it's hard to muster up the courage to talk to some of these people, especially those who might be, you really look up to and they're your idols, you know, and they're super busy. But, you know, Dom Famularo was one of the best at giving you his full attention when he talked to you. So it didn't matter who he was talking to, famous or 5-year-old, you know, if he was talking to you, you felt his eyes looking at you, and he was present. And that's the same thing I would recommend to anybody else who's going there when you're trying to connect with people. You know, I've had the experience, not a lot this weekend, but I've had it before, where, you know, people, if they don't think that you're important or someone they need to talk to, they'll kind of looking through you. They're looking at who's the next person I need to talk to, because this person's not that person, right? And I feel that right away when someone's not really paying attention to me, and like, you don't know who I am. You don't know I could be the next most important opportunity for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you want to give the people that respect, and you want to hope that they give you that respect back to you in return.
Dude, you absolutely nailed it. And one of the things that I would like to add to that is, to young drummers, that you look up to your favorite drummer. You know, they're a human being and they're a person and they just happen to play the drums just like you do. So don't be afraid of that. And hey, and I need to openly say this too. I mean, I'm friends with Greg Bissonette. Known him for a long time, but I still get like, oh my God, it's Greg. You know, I mean, you still kind of get those little things going, but you got to remember that they're a person just like you, and you kind of hang out and you talk about more than just that stuff. Mm-hmm. Last thing, I know we got to get going here. I want to say this. Ran into a really famous drummer just out of happenstance on the way to PASIC. And at the airport, in Ontario Airport, it was Todd Zuckerman. And I go, Todd. And he looks over, he goes, hey, Bart. And I was kind of surprised that he remembered me, but it was from the show, right? He was like, oh, I remember being on the show, and I love the show. Your guys' show was great. And we had a great conversation about St. Elmo. It's a restaurant in downtown Indianapolis. He goes, go there for dinner. They have the best horseradish, if you like hot horseradish. So we had there's a human connection, and don't forget that. So if you're intimidated to go, just go. You'll get over the intimidation.
You know what? Great stuff, guys. I need to just go. I actually got to run to a lesson. So great hanging. I'll leave you guys to it, and I will see y'all next week.
Okay, Jeremy, we're going to keep the show going. Jeremy, we'll see you later. Have a great lesson.
See you later, Jeremy.
Bye, guys.
Knock out.
What did Fred say there? What did Fred say, Chip?
Fred said he gets a little intimidated by other drummers, but as soon as I get started doing my own thing, that feeling goes away because I'm doing what I do.
Right, exactly. And Fred, you nailed it, because I think it's, one of the things that I said, don't be afraid to just sit down and play. And when you play, play with intent, right? And I think sometimes when you're going to learn more from your failures than you ever do from your successes. So if you have a little flub in there, you're going to, oh, wow, look, I made a mistake. I learned from that. Matter of fact, who was it that said that? Rick, one of the clinics, he was like, what a great thing it is that we get to get up here and make these mistakes because we learn mm-hmm. from it. It was, mm-hmm. what was that guy's name? Remember that? You remember it, though, correct?
I do remember that. I'm just not sure who actually said
yeah, there was
that.
Yeah, so, it was kind of blinding who all we had seen. But, if you are intimidated, yeah, I mean, of course you are. But back to the Todd Zuckerman thing. If you've ever taken his class or his master class, or if you saw the show when he was on deck, one of the things that he said, and it's back to what Jeremy said, play with intent. And I also think that one of the things that he said was very poignant was that nobody wants to see a train wreck, right? Everybody wants to see you succeed. But if you're so inside your head that you're not thinking about what it is that you're doing, you're thinking about how you're doing, you're going to have a train wreck because you're afraid, you know, and so that's that can be problematic. So just, you know, do your
There's
best.
There's no reason to be afraid. We're just drummers.
Generally, right, exactly. The audience wants you to win. They want you to do a good job. They're not really sitting there. We lost Bart. Sitting there waiting for you to fail. So, we lost Bart, didn't we?
We lost Bart. Bart's gone.
We lost Bart. Well, one thing I wanted to tell you, Chip.
It's the universe telling us to end the show.
I guess so. Hey, business cards are alive and well.
Business cards.
So many business cards of new connections. So business cards are still a thing, and it's very convenient rather than, still people are, just texting each other back and forth so they can follow up. So, and now there's a new thing where you touch the iPhones and it shares contact information. I saw
That's cool.
But I would definitely, a business card is still a thing. And you just can't beat that. Here it is.
Yeah. So there's something tangible with your name and your address and stuff or whatever, your method of contact on there.
Exactly. And the other thing is fist bumps. And handshakes are back. I'm so happy. We missed you, Bart.
Here's what I did. Here's what happened. Okay, don't be afraid to try. I just tried. Here's what happened. Since Jeremy set this up, I wasn't logged into StreamYard, right? And so I was like, okay, it says log in. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to end the show because I'm not logged in. So I was like, I know it's going to happen. So I hit log in. Poof, it kicked me out, and I had to jump through the hoops to get in.
Yeah, Jeremy's talking about business cards and how handshakes are back.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Handshakes are back. Business cards are back.
Go on, Rick. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
I think that was it. Other than definitely get a business card, and then if you're a pro, you know, and you're working on your music career, what you'll find is you're done with the show. You thought you were done with the show. No, it's only starting, because now you've got to do all the follow up. Don't collect a pile of business cards and then not do anything with it. You've got to start reaching out to people and bringing them something to them. Why do they want to hear from you?
Engaging those connections that you made.
It's like, what can I do for you? You know, what do I have for you? Not like, here I am, help my career out. That's not going to help. It's like, hey, I'm reaching out to you because I'm interested in your book, or when are you doing a clinic, or I have a question for you, or whatever it may be, or I'm so interested in your product, can you send me more information on your product? That's what networking is. Networking isn't give me free stuff or put me up on a pedestal. It's how can I help you out, and then you just work together.
I think, I don't know about you, Rick, but I have a very scheduled day every day. I sit down and play and practice every day. And I didn't get any practice in yesterday as much as I wanted to after getting back from PASIC, because exactly that. I was sending emails and texts all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got on to start teaching. And then as soon as the teaching day was over, I had to answer more emails and more text messages. So yeah, networking is a big thing, and it's definitely a thing. That's for sure.
Very cool. Well, I hope everybody enjoyed the show as much as I did.
Thanks so much for watching, Rick.
Hopefully you'll be able to make it next year, Chip. And
Man.
And then a big shout out to our dear friend Jim Royal out in Connecticut.
Yes.
We miss you, Jim.
Jim Royal.
Next year. Let's do next year, Jim.
Yeah, and we really did. We had such a great time this year. It was my first PASIC, and we all shared an Airbnb. You know what I learned about Airbnb? Well, actually, I know this about Airbnbs, but I didn't think about it. Whenever they say it sleeps six, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to sleep six comfortably. It was the four of us, and it was great. It was such a nice Airbnb, and it was really comfortable, and we had a lot of great meals. It was just fantastic, and great time. So
good stuff, man.
Okay, guys, thanks for watching. I'm going to hit the stop button.
Next week,
Johnny Kelly
next week of Typo Negative.
Yeah. How cool is that?
To talk to him.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, guys. Well, listen, have a great week. I'm going to try to hit the end button and play something all at the same time.
All right. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you guys next week.